Open your Bibles with me to begin with, the 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is where we'll start off this morning. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now this picks up right after Elijah's great victory on Mount Carmel, where he called down the fire. The fire burned up the sacrifice, and then Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal, and then he prayed for the rain, and the rain came, and then he outran the king's chariot back down to the city, about 25 miles. He basically ran a marathon at sprinter speed. Hallelujah. And the hand of the Lord came on him to do that. And I wonder if he had one of those 26.2 things on the back of his chariot. Maybe 26.2 in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. So that's the background of what we read here in 1 Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, she says, "I'm going to kill you." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." He was greatly discouraged here at this point. And he had seen great victories, but at this point, he was greatly discouraged. And we use this scripture in another message recently. He was tired. He was worn out. You know, a lot of times you get discouraged. You just need to rest. Just naturally. Amen. That's part of it. But he was discouraged. He said, "Lord, just take my life." In verse 5, he says, "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." And verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." So this was some supernatural nourishment and sustenance that he received, wasn't it? Yes. And it says he was all discouraged, and the angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And so he ate and he drank, and then he laid down and he slept again. And then he got back up and he said, "Here's some more. Take another dose of this. Take some more of this." And he ate and drank again. And in the strength of that impartation, if you will, of physical food, albeit supernatural, he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that nourishment. Praise God. I liken that to these meetings last week. To the impartations that you received, and a lot of us, praise God, and we should have, a lot of us didn't just eat and drink one time. We laid down, amen, and we got up and we ate and drank again, didn't we? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You came back for more, didn't you? Amen. Glory to God. That's scriptural. That's right. Elijah did that. Well, now, that ought to stay with you. Yeah. That ought to stay with you. It ought to propel you forward. Yeah. Amen. The things that God did, remember what He spoke to your heart. Remember the spiritual impartations you received and value those and go in the strength of that. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Go in the strength of that. We need that. We need times like we had last week. Times, the scripture calls it in Acts, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But is that the norm? Is that how we're supposed to live? Eating once every 40 days. That's not the norm, is it? Now, I'm not saying that a move of the Holy Spirit is not the norm. We can have a continual move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can have a continual working of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and we should believe for that, and we should expect that. A lot of times the reason we don't have it is we don't expect it. Amen. Glory to God. Where are all those people that filled this building up last week? They should be here today expecting just the same, shouldn't they? But you're here, so I'll be nice to you. They're not here. You go fuss on them after you hear this message and tell them, where were you? Or ask them, where were you? No, that's not, eating once every 40 days is not the norm, is it? Not even with supernatural food. Look with me at Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota. How often? How often?
Every day.
Once every 40 days?
Every day.
Every day. And they ate that way for 40 years, didn't they? Every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily, so they could observe the Sabbath. Seventh day was a Sabbath day, so on the sixth day they could get a double portion of the manna, and it would be all right. Now, and look at look down at verse 14 with me, and let me get to verse 14. I'll just really look at it off the screen here with you. Or you look at it in your Bible either way. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? And that's what manna means in the Hebrew. It means, what is it? They said, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. First, they didn't recognize it, did they? He said, it's the bread that God has given you to eat. And so they gathered it. Verse number 19. Let's skip down there. Verse 19, I think, that's where we want to go. Verse 19, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning. So they were supposed to gather it, and all that they gathered that day, they were to eat it. Don't leave any of it for the next day. Well, we might not have any if we don't save up a little bit. So God said, now I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn that I'll have more for you tomorrow. Amen. That there'll be more out there tomorrow. Well, we don't know if that's, we better save some of it. I mean, we don't know where we're going to get food. We better save some of it. And so they did, some of it. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. So you had to get up in the morning and get it first thing, didn't you? Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow it is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Well, wait a minute, you just told us not to save any of it, and when we did keep it till the next day, it bred worms and stank. But not on this day it won't. So that way they could observe the Sabbath. They didn't have to go out and get it on the Sabbath. Then they got up. There it was. It was fine. Verse 24, he says, so they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Supernaturally, God fed them. God sustained them. Praise God. Now, so he provided a daily portion of manna for the children of Israel. Both these examples that we've looked at are both where God provided supernaturally. It was supernatural food that the angel fed Elijah with. And he went in the strength of two doses of that, 40 days and 40 nights. You know, probably full speed. But then the other example that we have is where God fed his people, again, supernatural. It was bread that came from heaven. It was supernatural, but it was daily. It was a daily provision. That's the norm. It's the norm to feed daily, isn't it? In the natural, it's the norm to eat daily and to be fed daily. Now, that manna, You know, Jesus said, do you remember what he said? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we can get a spiritual correlation to the manna that God has manna for us every day. He has fresh bread for us every day, and that we should feed on His Word every day. That would include your personal devotion and Bible reading and Bible study and time with God every day. That would include the local church gathering on a weekly basis or twice a week, as your schedule allows, or whenever we're having services and being fed the Word of God on a consistent basis. Well, which do we need? We need both, don't we? We need both. Amen. Jesus told His disciples to pray, give us what? This day. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Physically as well as spiritually. Father, you know, do you ever pray that? You ever pray that when you open your Bible to read it? You do open your Bible and read it, right? Lord, give me this day daily bread. Give me this day a fresh word. Speak to me. Amen. Hallelujah. That manna was fresh every day. God provided it supernatural. You know, eventually they got tired of that. They began to complain about it. Manna again? We had that yesterday. And the day before that. And the day before that. And the week before that. And the month before that. And the year before that. They get tired of being fed supernaturally. The supernatural word or food from God. And yet, We're tired of this. The manna wasn't stale. They just got bored with it. Amen? I'm sure there was a lot. They probably came up with a lot of recipes for manna. What's important for us to see is this. God uses both methods to nourish us and give us strength to live for Him. He gives us those times where the angel comes to us and says, eat and drink. And we eat and drink and lay down. And we get up again and we eat and drink again. And that's an impartation that can stay with us, and we can go 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that. Praise God. You've received, I have too, things that have happened, that have transpired in my life, that have kept me going, that have set the direction of my life for long periods of time. Amen. Supernatural impart. We need that. We need times like that. That's why we have from time to time. That's why we have meetings like that. But then also God uses that daily feeding, that daily nourishment. Amen. And we need both. And now it's a huge mistake to think that we don't need either. Some folks don't recognize they need either one. They're Christians, all right, but they don't realize that they need any kind of nourishment or any kind of feeding. And it's also a big mistake, not quite that huge, but it's a big mistake to think that we only need one. Well, I came to the special services. That's all I need for the year. That's foolish. That's not all you need. Amen? Or, well, I read my Bible every day. I pray. I attend church every Sunday. I don't need to come to that special meeting. Well, that's a mistake too. We need both. Amen? Is this making sense?
Yes.
Praise God. We need special meetings. We need impartations of the Holy Spirit. But we also need the daily provision of reading, studying the Word of God, being fed the Word on a consistent basis. That's why the local church is important. That's why you need a pastor. That's why the local church is important. You know, I was thinking about this. One reason why is, you know, if we just left it up to ourselves, if you just left it up to you, you know what you would study and feed on? Just the things that you like. Amen. That's why everybody needs a pastor. Because I might preach something and teach something that you don't particularly like or are interested in or study. But God knows that you need it. It's just like, you know, your kids. You know, you make sure that they get a proper, you know, well-balanced meals, right? If it was up to them, they would eat candy and ice cream every meal and cake, right? Amen? Well, that's why the local church is important. That's why you need a pastor. Because a pastor will feed you a balanced diet. Amen? Hallelujah. Wide spectrum. All the things that you need Amen. That you might not think, well, I don't need that. I don't need to hear about that. Or maybe there's maybe areas where you know that there's an. Well, I don't want to get over. I don't want to study over on that because I might get too convicted if I study about that. And here comes, if you're in church, if you're coming to church every Sunday, every week, then you're going to hear that word. That's going, wow, I didn't want to hear that, but I know I needed it. Amen. Hello. God gives you an opportunity to correct and to change. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So going forward, I want to look at it from two tracks here. First of all, individually, and then collectively as the church. Going forward then, individually, what should we do? Let me encourage you with three things here going forward from this meeting. What can you take out of it? Or again, if you were not in this, and you know, just think of times where God has imparted things into your life in a special way. Number one, hold on to what you received. Number one, hold on to what you received, because the devil will try to come steal it away from you. Amen? You have to hold on to it. Jesus said in Revelation 2:25, look at the scripture with me. Revelation 2:25, look at what Jesus said. But hold fast what you have till I come. Hold fast to what you have till I come. Hold fast to what you have till I come. Praise God. So recognize that you received something. Healing, freedom. Anybody receive any healing this week? Anybody receive an impartation from God of strength? Amen. Anybody receive a new level of freedom and victory? Hold on to it. Don't let the devil. Some of you let the devil steal it away when you came into church this morning. Instead of entering in and worshiping God freely like you were doing last week, you sat there or stood there. Don't let the devil do that. Amen. Don't let him steal it away from you that quick. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hold on to what you've received. Praise God. Now, the second point may seem paradoxical, but point two is this. Give it away. You know the way to hold on to it? This is kingdom of God thinking. You hold on to something by giving it away. You keep something by giving it away. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, he's talking to his disciples. He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. The way to hold on to something, the way to keep it fresh and alive in your heart, something spiritual, things of the kingdom of God, is by giving it away. It's by sharing it with other people. Amen? Peter said to the lame man at the gate, beautiful, I don't have any silver and gold, but such as I have, I give to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you what I have. You know, one of the things that Brother John said last week, he said the role of the church in general, the church is to win the lost. The role of the church service is to produce healthy, filled believers that will go out and win the lost and reproduce. So give away what you received. Amen? People being saved, there ought to be people being saved, brought to Jesus through your witness. Amen? Praise God. Now, John, another thing he said he's talking about light and fire. When the Bible talked about light, you know, they didn't have in mind LED lighting. Not even fluorescent. What did they have in mind? What did they get light from? You remember?
Fire.
From fire. From fire. Hallelujah. So fire produces light. So with that in mind, listen to what Jesus said. This is a mandate scripture for this church, for City on a Hill Church. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Look at verse 15 now. Nor do they light a lamp. Did anybody get your lamp lit last week? Rekindled? Hallelujah, that light burning brighter. Well, Jesus said, they don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You don't light a lamp and then hide it. Huh? But on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be giving light. That's the mandate of this church. corporately, collectively. But that's also the mandate of every one of us as believers. We're to be giving light to all that are in the house. What's the house? The house is our sphere of influence. The house is the world that we live in. Amen. You don't, Jesus didn't light your lamp to put a basket under you or over you for you to be put under a basket and have that light hidden. No, our role is to give light to all that are in the house. And that doesn't mean the house of God, because you don't need to give light to a house full of light. We need to give light in a house where it's dark, right? Amen. So that means our world, our sphere of influence, the people that we know, especially those that are without Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So he said in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men. Give away what you've received. Give away what God has imparted to you. The best way to keep it, the best way to hold on to it, the best way for it to stay fresh and alive in you and me is for us to give it away. Amen? Praise God. And then number three, stir up the gift. Kind of already talking about that. But stir up the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You know that's 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I've used this illustration before, but it's kind of like you ever been going to do some painting at your house, and you say, you know, I don't have to go to the store and buy another can of paint. I'm just going to paint this the same color. I've already got some of that from the last time. There's some left over from the last time I painted. And you go and you open that can of paint. What does it look like? It looks gooey and awful. There's like a brown watery film, you know, there. And what do you have to do to get that paint to where you can use it again? Huh? Everybody say it. Stir it up. Stir it up. Amen. Why is it like that? Why is it in that shape? It's because it's been sitting there. Amen. It's not been in use for a number of weeks or months or even years maybe. And the paint's still good. You just got to stir it up. What God did in you is still good. His gifts and call are without repentance. You just got to stir it up. Amen. Praise God. The New Living Translation says it this way. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I believe many of us received impartations from the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. You know, the Lord directed me the week before Brother John came to talk to you, to teach you about the laying on of hands. And to prepare you for this meeting, because John has a ministry of laying on of hands. And you were so, he didn't have to hardly give the call and the altars were full. Amen. That was beautiful. Praise God. You recognize the value and the worth of that. Amen. And I commend you for that. Praise God. But he says, fan into flames that spiritual gift. Hallelujah. So there's a part that we have to play to keep that burning, to keep that stirred up. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Message Bible says it this way, and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. Keep that ablaze. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, remember what God spoke to you. Remember what you came forward to receive. Amen. I mean, the calls were specific. You know, it was a wide range, whatever your situation fits you, of course, but there were specific calls. Well, whatever you came for, I don't know about you, but when I came forward, I didn't come just, well, I'm just going to let, you know, have him lay hands on me because I want to fall over. It wasn't about that at all. In fact, one time he didn't get his hands laid on me and I fell over. Anybody see that? And so it wasn't about that. I was coming to receive specific things from the Lord as he was preaching and as he gave that call. He said, okay, what about this and this and this? And said, think about what you need. And I thought about that and I said, okay, I want this from the Lord. I want to receive this. Amen? Amen. Now, again, you know, the laying on of hands, as I said in that message, it doesn't, you know, that it is not a substitute for developing godly character, and it's not an end all, but it's something valuable we need to understand and recognize and receive from. So there were things, Lord, I'm going to receive this. I'm going to receive this impartation. Amen. And you did too. So remember that. Remember what you came up for. Remember what you received when hands were laid on you, and fan that into flame. Amen. Fan it into flame. Praise God. I remember Brother Randy, I've heard him say it more than one time, putting, as he got ready to lay hands on folks, he said, these are, does anybody know what he's called them? Jumper cables. These are jumper cables. Well, you know what jumper cables are for? It's when your battery's dead and you're able to jump your car off, get your car started again. Amen? Well, does anybody use jumper cables to start your car every morning? Let me enlighten you. That's not the best way to do it. Oh, well, dear, you know, it's time I've got to leave for work. Would you pull your car around and pop the hood so I can crank my car and get going for the day? It's not the best way to do it, is it? Your car should have a functioning alternator. And the purpose of that alternator, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think this is right. I didn't study auto mechanics in school. But the purpose of the alternator is to transfer what that engine produces, the power that that engine produces, the alternator sitting there so it can recharge the battery as you're going and as you're driving. Isn't that right? Yes. Amen. So you should have an alternator on your spirit. The point I'm making is you should get out and be moving and going with God so that your battery is being recharged. Amen. So you don't have to start your car every morning, your spiritual car, with jumper cables. In fact, you're praying in the Spirit, the Bible talks about that. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edifies, the word charge, that's where we get the word charge from, like you'd charge a battery. When you pray in other tongues, you're charging up that spiritual battery. When you're going out and using the gifts that God has given you, you're keeping that thing charged. It's like driving your car. It's like having the alternator working. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we'll transition on into talking about collectively as a church, but this was also individually as well. Remember, the way to put out a fire is what? Separate the individual logs that are burning. You separate them from each other. You separate one log out of the fire. Guess what's going to happen to that log? It's going to go out, isn't it? It's going to stop burning if it's pulled out of the fire. If it's, how do you get the fire going? You pile the logs together and start the fire, don't you? Keep the fire going, you keep the logs together. Amen? And so we need to come together. So collectively, point number, going forward, collectively, number one, come together. Come together. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, there's a way we can stir up one another. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. But here Paul said, let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Well, how do I do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's he talking about? He's talking about coming together. He said, don't forsake assembling ourselves together. Why? Because that's the place where you stir up love and good works. And he said, let's consider one another in order to do that. You know what happens when you don't come to church? You're just considering you. Well, I don't feel like going today. But if you would consider others, if you would consider one another, you'd say, you know, somebody might need a supply of the Spirit that I bring when I come to this place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that, and I received, and this may sound very, very presumptuous of me to think that I could have had any effect on what Brother Copeland spoke, but that's why I went. I thought, you know, I want to be there because I'm believing God that I know he's a prophet of God, and I'm believing God that he's going to speak from that prophetic office. You get enough. I'm sure I certainly wasn't the only person that God directed to be there for that reason, but I believe I'm supposed to be there for that reason. To believe for him to have utterance and to speak from that place as a prophet. He's also a teacher, a wonderful teacher of the word. A lot of people only see him as a teacher. They don't recognize that prophetic office. Well, if there weren't people there expecting him to minister out of that prophetic place, it would have been hard for him to step into that, I believe. Praise God. And so, again, coming together, I went to that meeting. There were thousands of people there, but I believe I brought a supply of the Spirit to help him to minister in that place. He didn't know I was there. He doesn't know me. Well, it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be like that. Amen? And the same is true in the local church service. You bring a supply of the Spirit that is missing when you're not here. Amen? Hallelujah. You sense it, you feel it today, honestly, don't you? The folks are not here. There's something lacking, isn't it? Amen. Tell them they were missed today. And we're not fussing on anybody. People just don't understand this, I don't think, the way they should. Praise God. But we're getting there. Amen? And then the second thing, then, come together, then expectation. Look at Mark chapter 6. We're talking about how to build on what we received this past week and to go forward as a church now, collectively. So come together. Then number two, expectation. Again, these are individual things because the church is made up of us as individuals. So Mark chapter 6, verse 54. Now, the first few verses of Mark chapter 6, if you remember, Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth. And the Bible says the people did not receive him. They did not expect anything. And it says that therefore he couldn't do no mighty works there. But then you get to the end of the chapter, and he goes across the Sea of Galilee to another area. And look at what happened when he got here. Verse 54 says, "And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him." And what did they do? Verse 55, "They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was, wherever he entered, into villages." Get this picture now. So he's in this entire region. This is not just a one-time thing. This is an ongoing thing. This is an ongoing thing here in this region, in this part of the country, because the people recognized Jesus and because they had an expectation. Wherever he entered, into villages, so he would go into a village, it happened, into cities, when he went into the bigger places, the cities, village was a smaller locale, then he went into the cities, or in the country, even when he was out in the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. This was massive, folks. This was huge. He went into this region. You know, I'd read that. I really didn't see this until just right now when we're reading it. I thought, well, he went into this town and it happened one time. But it says he went into a region. This would be today, like you would think, the region of North Georgia. And wherever he entered, into villages, there's small towns here in North Georgia, into cities, there's bigger towns, you know, here in North Georgia, or the country, there's countryside here. Wherever he went, it says they laid the sick in the marketplaces, they begged him, they ran, and they brought all the sick. And it says that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. What a remarkable, amazing outburst and working of the power of God on an ongoing basis. And what created that? Well, it was Jesus that created. Well, yes, it was, but Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth just earlier in the chapter, probably just a few days before, and nothing happened. He was able to, it said he laid his hands on a few sick people. The literal Greek says with minor ailments. But here is this massive outbreak of the power of God and miracles and people are being healed. Every single person that touched the hem of his garment, every single one of them were healed. As many as touched him were made well. Oh, man. Think about that. Over this entire region. And the difference is expectation. The people's expectation precipitated all of that. Are you out there? God moves among a people based on their collective expectation. Amen? Let's expect that Jesus is going to show up. Amen? Now, I appreciate John, and I love having him in every year, and I love what God does, and I love the dynamic way that he ministers. And I realize I don't minister the same way, but I'm preaching the same Jesus. We're preaching the same Jesus. Jonathan and the worship team is leading us into the same presence of God. We don't have to have a certain name or minister or person here. Amen. If we will expect. If we will expect that Jesus is going to show up and manifest his presence and his power when we come together. If we expect that the worship team will lead us into the presence of God. If we will expect that God is going to speak to us as I preach and teach the Word, then He'll confirm His Word. Amen. 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 Praise God. So let's have expectation. And then the final thing this morning is unity. Unity. Amen. Praise God. For the sake of the log, it needs to stay in the fire. For that log to keep burning, it needs to stay in the fire. So for the log's sake, it needs to stay in the fire. For the sake of the fire, the logs cannot allow themselves to be scattered and separated. Did you get that?
Yes.
For the sake of the log, it needs to stay in the fire. That's you personally. That's your personal fire, continuing, keeping your fire burning personally. For the sake of the fire, the logs cannot allow themselves to be scattered and separated. That's talking about that corporate, that collective fire in us as a church. Yes. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me recommend one other thing too. Get adequate sleep on Saturday night. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, some folks just don't prioritize their lives right. Hallelujah. And I'm glad you're here, and this is a nice place to rest. But get some sleep so you can hear what's being said in the service and participate. Amen. Get some rest on Saturday night. You know, realize, hey, you know, we got church in the morning. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to bring my supply, and I'm going to receive from God. I'm coming with an expectation. I can't stay up all night on Saturday night. And expect now, you know, I'd rather you come if you've been up all night. Now, so... praise God. Hallelujah. Anyway, unity. Yes. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Look at what it says here. This is the New Living Translation. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. The King James, and the New King James says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That means there's something that we have to do. That means we have to recognize that the devil would try to scatter us. The devil would try to get us offended at one another. The devil would try to separate us, scatter us apart. So we have to make every effort. What does that mean? What does it mean? What does that look like? Making every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Well, it means forgiving, doesn't it? Well, it means if you have aught against any, forgive them. That's what Jesus said. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone. It means going to someone and saying, look, if I've offended you, you know, if I've wronged you, I'm sorry. Let's make this right. Amen. Let's get this right. This is too important. My relationship with you is too important. I value my relationship with you. I value opportunity to walk in unity with you and fulfill a great work of God. We cannot allow this separation to take place, this division to take place. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Collectively going forward, that's what we can do to maintain the fire. Amen? And to build on what God has done. Praise God. Coming together, then having expectation, and then unity. And then for ourselves and our individual lives, hold on to what you received. Amen. Hold on to it. How do I hold on to it? By giving it away. How do I hold on to it? By remembering what God spoke to me, by remembering what God did. Hallelujah. Keeping myself in an atmosphere. You know, sometimes we can put ourselves in conditions and in atmospheres. I'm not talking about, certainly we can go out into the world to witness and be a light and a witness, but I'm talking about if we go out with the purpose of, you know, I just want to engage in these activities, or I just think I want to surround myself with this for a while. You know, you can surround yourself with stuff that'll put your fire out. Hello? Amen. Amen. So that's why Paul told Timothy, guard the good deposit. Guard that deposit. Amen. Do things, order your life and things that are going to stir up that fire and fan into flame that fire. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then stir up that gift. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand up with me? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.